Okay, today's daf is Berachot Daf Nun Bet. We're at the top of Nun Bet. I'm an Aleph at Besavri Beit Shammai. And we have a little bit of Tuma and Tahara in today's daf, so I'll try to make that as clear as possible. Rav Besavri Beit Shammai, the Birkat Hayom Adifa. Is it really true that Beit Shammai holds that the bracha on the day takes precedence over the bracha on the wine? Vatani, didn't we learn in the Braita? Hanichlas to Beit of Motzei Shabbat. Someone comes home on Motzei Shabbat. How does he make Avdalah? Mavarech Alayayin. First, he makes a bracha on the wine. Val HaMeor, then on the candle. Val HaBsamim, then on the spices. Vacharkach, Omer Avdalah. Then only afterwards he says Havdalah. So he puts the bracha on the day, meaning Havdalah, where you make a bracha on the new week after the bracha on the wine, which he clearly gives precedence to. V'im ein lo elakos echad, if he only has one cup of wine, manicho lechar amazon, shashin kula l'acharav, he only has one cup and he has to make the birkat amazon on a cup of wine, and he has to make havdalah on a cup of wine, so he leaves the cup of wine until havdalah, and then he makes the birkat amazon on the cup of wine, and then he makes the other three brachot on the ner, on the b'samim, and on havdalah afterward. V'ha, mimai de Beit Shammai hi. Okay, that would be an issue, meaning that Beit Shammai gives precedence to the wine over the Havdalah, but how do you know that's Beit Shammai's Shita, right? That which we taught in the Braita, how do you know that's Beit Shammai's Shita, Dilma Beit Hillel? Maybe that Braita, which we didn't mention a name, is actually Beit Hillel's Shita. No, you can't say that. Tikatani, because we taught in that Braita, Me'or ve'charkach besamim. First you make a bracha on the fire, and then you make a bracha on the besamim. Uman shamat le de eat le hai svara. Who do you know? Who have you heard that says first you make a bracha on the eish, and only afterward you make a bracha on the besamim? Beit Shammai. That's Beit Shammai's shita. They make a bracha on the fire before you make a bracha on the besamim. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braita, Amr Rabbi Yehuda lo nechaku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel al-mazon shebetchila al-avdala shebesof. Rabbi Yehuda says that Beit Shammai Beit Hillel don't argue when it comes to Birkat Hamazon, that you say it first. Or when it comes to Havdalah, that you say it last. Almanichlaku, so what is their machloket? Alama or Valab Samim, when it comes to the fire and it comes to the Psamim. Beit Shammai Omer Me'or Vacharkach Psamim Beit Hillel Omer Psamim Vacharkach Me'or. So Beit Shammai says, first make a bracha on the fire, then the Psamim Beit Hillel says, first make a bracha on the Psamim, then the fire. So if Beit Shammai holds that you make a bracha on the fire and then the Psamim, then that which we quoted in the bracha, in the Braita, that was unnamed, that we didn't know who said it, that which we quoted, that the Me'or, the fire, comes before the Psamim, that is Beit Shammai's Shita, as Rabbi Yehuda spelled out explicitly. We might have Beit Shammai hiveli with Rabbi Yehuda. Wait, but that's only Beit Shammai's Shita if you assume that Rabbi Yehuda is correct that is Beit Shammai's Shita. So how do you know that? Dilma Beit Hillel hi veli b'dei Rabbi Meir. Maybe this is really Beit Hillel's Shita, which is expressed in the Braita, and we're following the opinion of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir believes that Beit Hillel believes that the Eish comes first and only afterward the Besamim. So again, we have two levels of Machloket here, right? There's Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel as to what comes first. The fire or the besamim. However, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have a machloket as to who holds which shita. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Shammai holds that that you say fire before the besamim, and therefore the Braita, which says fire before besamim, must be Beit Shammai, in which case, since that bracha, that Braita also says that you have the wine before the Havdalah, that's a difficulty for Beit Shammai's shita, where elsewhere he says that you have to do Birkat Hayom before the wine. However, according to Rabbi Meir, it is Beit Hillel's shita that you say the fire before the besamim, in which case the Braita will be following Beit Hillel in accordance with Rabbi Meir, in which case there wouldn't be a problem at all, because we know that Beit Hillel gives priority to the wine over the day. Lo salgadaitach. No, you can't say that we're actually following Rabbi Meir's shita, where it's Beit Hillel who holds that fire comes first. Dikatani hachab matnitin, because we taught in that Mishnah, Beit Shammai omrim ner umazon b'samim v'havdala. Beit Shammai says ner mazon b'samim v'havdala. Right, first you make a bracha on the candle, then you make a bracha on birkat hamazon, and then you make on the b'samim, and then you make a havdala. Beit Hillel omrim ner ubesamim mazon v'havdala. Right, so they have a machloket, but the significant thing to point out within this Mishnah is that birkat hamazon is not first. Right, according to Beit Shammai, it's first candle, then birkat hamazon. According to Hillel, it's first candle, then besamim, and then birkat hamazon. That's significant. V'hatam b'braita k'tani. However, in the braita that we brought in, that we don't know who said it, and we wanted to say that it was like Beit Shammai, right? Im ein lo ela kos echad. If you only have one cup for the last meal and for havdalah, what do you do? Manichol achar hamazon. Right, so you wait with that cup, right, and then you make a birkat hamazon as part of havdalah, mishalshin kulan la'acharav, and then you say the three remaining brachot afterward. Why is that an issue? Okay, because of the Braita, if the Mishnah that we quoted said that Birkat HaMazon either is the second or third bracha, and the Mishnah that we quoted says that Birkat HaMazon is most definitely the first bracha, that means that we have a machloket between a Mishnah and a Braita, right? Now, who is the Mishnah according to? The Mishnah is according to Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Stam Mishnah ka Rabbi Meir. That is a rule. When we teach an unattributed Mishnah, we assume that that goes in accordance with Rabbi Meir's Shita. So I have a Mishnah that's unattributed. I assume that this is Rabbi Meir's Shita. Then I have a Braita. That Braita is also unattributed, but I know it can't be Rabbi Meir because it argues, it contradicts what's written in the Mishnah, which I know it goes according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir can't be the author of both the Mishnah and the Braita, which are contradictory. Rather, it must be that the Braita is Rabbi Yehuda. In which case, that which you tried to suggest, that how do you know that this is Beit Shammai's Shita, that as Rabbi Yehuda explains it, where the fire comes before the Psamim, maybe it's Rabbi Meir's Shita, as maybe it's Beit Hillel's Shita, as Rabbi Meir explains it, where the fire comes before the Psamim. Now, you can't say that Rabbi Meir is the author of that Braita because it contradicts a Mishnah which we know Rabbi Meir authored. In which case, it must be Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, who holds that this is Beit Shammai, who says that fire comes before the Psamim, because the fire comes before the Psamim, then you have a machloket, or you have a contradiction between two of Beit Shammai's Shitas as to whether or not the wine should come before the Kiddush Hayom. Shemamina, the Beit Shammai, Hivalib, the Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, you have to learn from there that this is really like Beit Shammai's Shita in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, Mikomakom Kasha, and you have this difficulty of what comes first, the wine of the Kiddush Hayom, Kasabri Beit Shammai. So how does Beit Shammai explain this? Shani Iyula Yoma Ma'afuka Yoma. No. The beginning of the day is different than the end of the day. You can't compare Kiddush to Havdalah. Why? Ilu Yoma Kama Demikadmin and Le Adif, Afuka Yoma Kama Demachrin and Le Adif. But when it comes to this, the beginning of Shabbat, the earlier you say the bracha, the better. It shows how precious it is. And when it comes to the end of Shabbat, the later you say the bracha on Shabbat, the better, because it shows that we're sad to see it go. We don't want it to look like a burden that it's Shabbat. So we're not in any urgency to end Shabbat. So you can't compare the two. Of course you're going to make the bracha on Shabbat first when it comes to Kiddush. That's when you're welcoming it in. But when it comes to Havdalah, when it's Shabbat leaving, then you push it off. Wait, but does Shammai even hold that Birkat HaMazon needs a kos bracha? That's interesting. V'hatnan, because didn't we learn in a Mishnah, Balehem Yain, in our Mishnah, or we saw this Mishnah, Balehem Yain Lachar HaMazon. If wine came to them after they ate, im ein sham ela otokos, and you only have that cup, meaning you only have that cup, so that would need to be your kos bracha if you wanted to make it. Beit Shammai omrin varach al yain varach al mazon. Beit Shammai says you still can say a bracha on the wine first and then a birkat mazon. Why is that significant? My love, varach iluve v'shatila shatila. Isn't Beit Shammai saying that you make a bracha on the wine and then drink the wine? In which case, that he holds that even though you only have one cup, you're allowed to drink the wine in the context of a meal, and then make a Birkat HaMazon without the wine. In which case, he doesn't seem to hold that you need a kos bracha here at all. No. He holds that you make a bracha then, and you put it aside, and then you make Birkat HaMazon, and then you drink it. That's his shita. He never says you have to drink it. Right? But doesn't master hold that the person who makes the bracha have to taste from it? How does he make the bracha and then put it on the side? That doesn't make any sense. The ta'im lay. No. Yeah, he drinks it. That's pasha. He makes the bracha, he drinks it, and then he puts it on the side. What's the problem? But didn't Master teach that if you drank from the cup, you made it into a kos pagum, right? There's a problem with this cup. It's not fit now to be a kos bracha since you drank from it. Why would that be the case? Because it's disrespectful to make a bracha on a cup of wine that's already been drank from. I mean, think about it like this. If you're at a restaurant and you order a cup of wine and the waiter's like, oh, well, you know what? The guy next to you just ordered a cup of wine and he didn't really like it. So he tried it. Can I just bring you that one and then we don't have to waste the wine? You'd be like, no, that's disgusting. What are you even, I'm at a nice restaurant here and you're offering to bring me a cup of wine that you brought to the guy next to me that he drank out of? No, bring me a fresh cup, right? Because that's our association with a cup that's already been drinking out of. So that's an appropriate cup to make a kos bracha out of? Absolutely not. So how could you let this guy taste it and then put it aside for a kos bracha? No, he's poured some on his hand and he tasted it that way. He didn't drink out of the cup. Wait, but doesn't Master hold that you need a minimum size? You can't pour out the wine onto your hand and drink it, because then you're not going to have enough wine in the cup to make the bracha. V'hakapachi, bucket. You have a minimum size, and he just poured it out, and now he doesn't have enough wine. Because he took some away. Okay, he didn't have the minimum amount in there. He had enough so that he could pour it out and taste it, and he still has enough of the shiur. But you told me he only has one cup of wine. So how does that work? Trey lohavi echad nafish. Right? Okay, he doesn't have two full cups. He has, though, more than the bare minimum of one, in which case he has enough in his cup that he can pour some out onto his finger, make the bracha, pour some on his finger, taste it, he still has the shiur that's necessary, he puts it aside, he makes birkat hamazon, no problem. The hatani, but wait, I have a different problem. Hatani Rabbi Chiya, didn't Rabbi Chiya teach Beit Shammai Omrim Mivarech Al Yayin V'Shoteh V'Charkach Mivarech Al Birkat HaMazon? Meaning, forget all the Svaras. Rabbi Chiya taught explicitly that Beit Shammai's Shita is you make a bracha on the wine and you drink it and then you make a Birkat HaMazon. That's a problem. Ela Trei Tanai, I leave it to Beit Shammai. Yeah, actually, there's Machloket Tanaim over how Beit Shammai holds. According to Rabbi Chiya, Beit Shammai holds that you make the bracha and you drink it and you're fine because you don't need a kos bracha according to Beit Shammai. But that's a Machloket, and we hold that Beit Shammai. Paskins, or that Beit Shammai really does need a kos bracha in accordance with the Tana who argues on Rabbi Chiya, so Beit Shammai does need a kos bracha. Beit Shammai Omrim, Tana Rabbanan, Beit Shammai Omrim, Notlin Liadaim, Vechagach Mozgin et hakos. First, you wash your hands, and then you pour the Kiddush cup. She'im ata Omrim Mozgin et hakos techila, because what if you were to pour the Kiddush cup before you washed your hands? Gzeira Shema Yitme'u Mashkin She'achorei hakos Machamat Yadav, because perhaps your hands, they're impure because you haven't washed them yet, right? So they're impure. And then maybe the liquid, the wine that's on the outside of the glass is going to become tamei from your hands. And then the drops of wine that became tamei from your hands are going to be metamei the entire kos, right? Then you have a serious problem. Okay, let me give now a brief hakdama, just in a nutshell, a little bit about tuma and tahara. You have an av hatuma that is the source from which the impurity emanates. Something that touches becomes a Rishon Latuma. Every subsequent time something is touched, it goes down a level in terms of its Tuma, and there are significant halachic ramifications for the level of Tuma that it is on. So the Avatuma touches something that's now a Rishon. The Rishon touches something that's now a Sheni, and just for simplicity's sake, we're going to say when a Sheni touches something, it becomes a Shlishi. However, it does not always become a shlishi. When a sheni touches chulin, which is something that's not sanctified, it cannot become a shlishi unless there is liquid involved. Liquid serves to convey tuma from one thing to the other. So if a sheni touches something and there is liquid on it, then it becomes a shlishi. However, if a sheni touches something and there's no liquid on it, then it does not become a shlishi unless that thing that it touches is kodshim. Truma, for example. If a sheni touches truma, that truma becomes shlishi and it's tame and you can't eat it. That is why kohanim need to wash their hands. The origin, among the origins for the netila idaim that we do today, is to normalize the practice of washing your hands so that the kohanim would be accustomed to do so that they wouldn't come to eat truma with sheni hands without washing it, because truma is kadosh. Even sheni hands turn it into a shlishi even if there's no liquid involved. Okay, now it's not any liquid, by the way, that can convey tuma that would turn a sheni into a shlishi. Right? The liquids are water, dew, honey, oil, wine, blood, and milk. If any of those liquids come in contact with a sheni, they make whatever they touch into a shlishi. Okay, so back to the Gemara. Right? So then it's going to come and make the kos tame. Velitmu yadayim lakos. Wait. Why you're concerned that that your hands are tame, and therefore if they're wet, they're going to convey tuma to the kos itself. Why aren't you just concerned that you're touching the cup with your tame hands? If you're concerned about the cup becoming tame, then you shouldn't touch the cup at all. Why do you need the water? Why do you need the water? Well, we know why. Why? Because yadayim shniot hand. Because hands have the status of sheni latuma. The ein sheni oseh shlishi b'chulin, and sheni, second degree tuma, cannot create considered decreed tuma by non-consecrated items, ela al yedei mashkin, unless liquid is involved. So we're only concerned that the hands are going to make the cup tame if there's water involved, but because the hands are sheni, we can't make the cup into shlishi if there's no water involved. And that's why I'm only concerned if you wash your hand. That's why I'm only concerned, not just water, any of the liquids. That's why I'm only concerned, let's say, if the wine is on the outside of it, that I'm going to make it tame. The wine's on the outside of it, and the wine conveys the tumah from my sheni hands onto the kos, which is now a shlishi. Ubet hil omrin, but what's bet hil shita? Mozgin et hakos ve'achar kach notlin yadayim. No, first you should pour the cup, and only afterward you do netilat yadayim. She'im ata omer notlin yadayim tchila. Because what if you were to say that you have to do netilat yadayim first? Gzeira shema yitamu mashkin shebeyadayim machamad hakos. Right? Maybe the kos is tame. Right? Maybe the cup itself is tame. Even though your hands are pure, the cup itself is tummy, but your hands are wet, right? So maybe now the kos itself, which is tame, is going to make your hands, which are wet, tame again, and then there's no point of even washing. And then your hands are just going to be tame again. Right? So, and then we ask a similar question. We say, v'nitme kos le'adayim. Well, if that's the case, that you're concerned that you have a kos, and that's just going to make your hands tame, then maybe we should just be concerned that the kos is going to make your hands tame. Who cares about washing your hands? And klima tame adam. No. This vessel cannot make a person tame unless there's liquid involved. Wait, but if the cup is tame, then shouldn't we be concerned about the wine inside of the cup? How does that work? No, we're not talking about a cup that is entirely tame. We're talking about a cup which became tame because of the liquid on the outside of the cup. And if the cup itself became tame because of the liquid outside of the cup, meaning if the cup was entirely tame, that'd be a different story. If we're talking about a cup that became tame because the wine on the outside of the cup was tame, that's a different story. The tocho tahor, because in that case, in a case like that, with that cup, the inside of that cup is tahor, v'gabo tame, and only the outside of it remains tame. Ditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, kli shenitmu acharav b'mashkin acharav tamein tocho ve'ogno ve'ozno v'yadav tahorin. Any cup that the outside became tame, in the inside and the handles and this and the rim around it are still tahor. Nitma tocho. However, if the inside of the cup became tame, nitmakul, then the entire cup is tame. Okay, so now I understand that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue. One is concerned that the mashkin, that the wine on the outside of the cup is going to become tame from your hands, which are sheni, and then be metame the kos, right? That's Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel is concerned that your hands, which are wet from metilat yadayim, are going to touch the kos that is tame, and then it's going to make your hands tame. So I understand that they have different concerns, but why do they have different concerns? Meaning, do they not see the validity in the other one's concern? What would Beit Hillel say to Beit Shammai, and what would Beit Shammai say to Beit Hillel? They both sound like legitimate concerns. B'mai kamiflegi. So what's really standing behind this argument that they're having? Beit Shammai savri asur lishtamesh b'kli shenitmu acharav mashkin. Beit Shammai says you can't use a cup that's tameh by a liquid on the outside of it. He says you can't use that cup at all. So the whole concern that Beit Hillel has, that you're going to use a cup that's tameh on the outside and it's going to be tameh your hands, which are now wet from washing your hands, doesn't exist for Beit Shammai. You can't use that cup in the first place. Gzeira mishum nitzotzot. Because we're concerned, we have this concern that if you use a cup that is tameh on the outside, then you're going to, if wine splashes from the inside the cup over the lip onto the outside of the cup and is now tame, it's going to be metame you, right? In which case, we don't use a cup that is sheni at all. Vileka lemigzar shema yitamu hamashkin shebeyadayim bekos, right? And we don't have to make the gzera that Beit Hillel was talking about, that the mashkin shema yitamu hamashkin shebeyadayim bekos. That we're not concerned that the water on the hands are going to be metame the cup itself. Beit Hillel savri, but Beit Hillel holds differently. Mutar lishtamesh b'kli shenitmu acharav. He holds that you're allowed to use a cup that is tame on the outside, in which case he has the concern that the cup that's tame on the outside is going to make your hands tame. B'mashkin amrim b'ritzoto lo shchicha. He says that concern about the water, about the liquid splashing over and metame your hands, yeah, that's not very common. We're not going to make a gzera. V'ikla michash shemitamu mashkin shebeyadayim machamarako. goes. However, you should be concerned that the water on your hands are going to become tame from the cup itself. So Beit Shammai is not concerned that the water on your hands will become tame from the cup because he holds you can't use that cup. However, you should be concerned for nitzotzot. However, Beit Hillel says nitzotzot aren't very common, but you do have to be concerned that the coast itself is going to make your hands tame because you can use a tame cup. Davar acher, alternatively, says Beit Hillel, techav l'tel yadayim se'uda, it's best to have the se'uda as close as possible in proximity to washing your hands. My davar acher, wait, why does Beit Hillel need that svara? What was wrong with his initial svara? Hachi kamar lehu Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. This is what Beit Hillel would say to Beit Shammai, right? If they were talking this out. Beit Hillel ultimately only has this concern because the cup itself is tame. Beit Shammai does not use tame cups. In which case, as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, we don't have Beit Hillel's concern. And so Beit Shammai has no reason to agree to Beit Hillel. Meaning, of course Beit Shammai is concerned. It's more legitimate, or is equally legitimate at least, if you hold that you cannot use tame cups. Meaning Beit Shammai has no reason to be concerned for Beit Hillel's shita. How is Beit Hillel going to convince Beit Shammai to be concerned about something that only exists when you use tame cups, which Beit Shammai doesn't do? That's why it says, so Beit Hillel says, even according to your shita, Beit Shammai, you don't use tame cups. I get that, so you don't have the same concern. Inachinami, you should still paskin like me, because you want to do the seuda as close as possible to the tilat yadayim. If you're pouring a cup after you wash your hands and before you're eating, then you're creating another hefsek between the tilat yadayim and the seuda. Beit Shammai omrim mekaneach. More to Mantara. Tan Rabbanan, Beit Shammai omrim mekaneach yadav b'mapa menichan al shulchan. So Beit Shammai says, you wash your hands, you dry your hands, sorry, with a towel, and then you put them on the table, you put the towel on the table, and that way you can have the towel, you have access to the towel throughout the meal to clean your hands. Sh'imata omer ala keset, gzera shem yitamu mashkin, sh'mapa macham ala keset. Because if you hold that you should put the towel on the cushion, then you have to be concerned that the cushion itself, which is tameh, is going to convey its tuma to the towel, which is wet. Right? And then when you clean your hands off with that towel, which is wet and is now tame, you're going to make your hands tame. Wait, why are you concerned that the towel is going to be metame the water, which is going to be metame the towel, which is going to be metame, or sorry, the cushion will be metame the water, which is metame the towel, which is metame the hands? Maybe you should just be concerned that the cushion itself is going to be metame the towel. Why do you need the introduction of water? Ain kli metame kli, because of this principle that two vessels, unless they are the av hatuma, do not convey tuma to each other. So if we're the avatuma, then yes. If that's the source that the tuma emanates from, then you have to be concerned that the cushion is going to directly make the towel into a rishon latuma. However, in our case, the cushion is a rishon latuma. The towel is a sheni latuma, and therefore and that's going to make the yadayim a shlishi latuma. Venitmiya keset lagavra, a gufe. Wait, but then if the cushion is tame, then maybe it just makes the person tame for sitting on it, right? Because as we know, tuma is conveyed through a number of different ways, right? One of them is bimoshav, by sitting on it, right? In which case, it should make the person himself tame because he's sitting on the cushion. Ein kli metame adam. No, a kli also cannot be metame a human being, just like it can't be metame another kli, unless it either has a liquid involved or unless it is the av hatuma. Ubeit Hillel omrim, but Hillel says the following, ala keset, you should put the towel on the cushion, not on the table. Because the towel has liquid on it, it's going to become tame from the table itself. And now the towel is tame. And then that's going to make the ochel on the table tame. Wait, but if you're concerned about the table being tame, and then the food contracting the tuma, then just say that the table itself makes the food tame. What do you need the towel for? No, because we're not talking about a shulchan that is rishon, in which case a shulchan that is rishon would make the food tame. Unlike kli to kli. What we said about kli to kli is that a vessel does not make another vessel tame unless it is the av hatuma. However, food can become tame by a rishon, right? So it's one step more stringent. Food can become tame by a rishon latuma. Kalim can only become tame by the Av HaTumah unless there's water involved, right? So what are we saying here? Besides Vehil, because we're talking about a Shulchan that's Sheni. The Shulchan that's Sheni cannot convey its Tumah to a food without water. And if that's the case, that's why I don't want to put the wet towel on the table, because that's going to be the conduit that's going to convey the Tumah to the food. The Ein Sheni Oseh Shlishi B'chulin. And a sheni, like a table, is not going to make non-kadosh food into a shlishi, el alidei mashkin, unless there's water involved. Like we said on the previous amud, my kamiflagi. Okay, I get it. Beit Shammai is concerned about the person's hand becoming tameh, and Beit Hillel is concerned about the food itself becoming tameh. But why wouldn't Beit Shammai be concerned about the food, and why wouldn't Beit Hillel be concerned about the hands? Again, what are they actually arguing about here? They seem to have two very legitimate concerns. Beit Shammai Savri Asur Lishtamesh B'Shulchan Sheni, because Beit Shammai says you can't even use a Shulchan Sheni. So if you can't use a Shulchan Sheni, then the whole problem that Beit Hillel has doesn't even exist according to Beit Shammai. So of course he's not going to be concerned that the food is going to become tameh when you have a sheni shulchan come in contact with the water of the towel and the food on the table. You can't use a sheni shulchan gzerim shum ochle truma, because we were concerned that those who eat truma might accidentally do that on a sheni table. And we know that a sheni can convey its tuma to something that is kadosh without water. Again, if it's chulin, like normal food, then a sheni doesn't convey tuma without liquid. A rishon would convey its a rishon would make the food sheni, but a sheni can't make the food, which is not kadosh, shlishi, unless there's water involved. But Beit Shammai doesn't use a sheni table because he's concerned that the kohanim would become accustomed to use sheni tables, and they may actually use a sheni table for their truma, which is kadosh, which can convey from a tuma, the tuma of sheni, to the shlishi of the truma without water, because it's kadosh and it's not chulin. Beit Hillel savri mutar l'shtamesh b'shulchan sheni. Beit Hillel says you're allowed to use a shulchan that's sheni, and that is why he has the concern that we're going to pass it onto the food through the wet towel. Ochlei truma is reason him, because we assume that the kohanim who eat the truma are very, very careful, and so we don't need to make a gzera to protect them. Davar acher, alternatively, ein netilat yadayim l'chulim min haTorah. Right? Netilat yadayim that you do on your hands in order to eat non-consecrated foods, that's not deoraita. That is derabanan. Right? Okay, we're going to talk about why that's significant. My davar acher, why did Beit Hillel need another answer here? Hachikamar lehu Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, because this is what Beit Hillel would have said to Beit Shammai, right? Because we said, according to Beit Shammai, you should have no concern for Beit Hillel's concern. You don't have to have any regard for Beit Hillel's concern. Beit Hillel's concern only exists when you have a sheni table that's going to convey its tuma to the food. In which case, if you don't have a sheni table because it's Beit Shammai's shita, then Beit Shammai shouldn't have to care about Beit Hillel's shita at all. So Beit Hillel is saying, no, Beit Shammai, you still have to worry about my shita. Why? V'chitemru. Or you don't have to worry. Exactly, I'll explain inside. V'chiteimru ma'ishna gabei ochlin dechayshinan ma'ishna gabei yadayim lo chayshinan. I understand why Beit Shammai is concerned for yadayim, for the hands, but he's not concerned about ochel. He doesn't eat on sheni shulchanot, in which case there's no concern that the food is going to become tameh by the towel by a sheni shulchan, because it's not a sheni shulchan, so you don't have to worry. However, what doesn't make sense to me is Beit Hillel's shita. Why? Because Beit Hillel seems to be concerned about the food, which makes sense because he eats on sheni shulchanot. But he isn't concerned about the yadayim. Why wouldn't he be concerned about the hands becoming tameh from the wet towel which came in contact with the cushion? He should be equally as concerned. I mean, he should just be more machmir than Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai should have to say, you can't put it on the cushion, but you can put it on the table. Beit Hillel should say, you can't put it on either. Afilu hachi ha'adifa. Hillel says, no, even still, my shita is preferable. Why? De netilat yadayim l'chulim min haTorah, right? Because netilat yadayim, in order to eat non-consecrated foods, is not mideoraita. You don't have to do the mideoraita. Mutav shita mu yadayim delit lehu ikar mideoraita v'alitom ha'ochlin de'id lehu ikar mideoraita. So Behillel would say, I would rather hands become tamei, right? Because having tamei hands and eating food is not a deoraita problem. It's a derabanan implementation. However, making food impure, meaning like actively making food tamei, that is an issa deoraita, that you're not allowed to do that. In which case, I would much rather risk hands becoming tameh, which is derabanan, than food becoming tameh, which is deraita. Beit Shammai omrim mechabdin, right? So you clean up the area around where you ate, and then you wash your hands. Beit Shammai omrim mechabdin tabayid v'chakach notin liyadayim. So first you clean up the area, and then you wash your hands. This is my machronim we're talking about before Birkat HaMazon. Shimata omrim notin liyadayim chila nimtza ata mafsa. Masir et ha'ochlin. Because if you wash your hands first and then you clean up your area, then you're going to touch your area with wet hands, right? And the water in your hands are going to have the tuma from your hands on it, and then you're going to ruin the food because you're going to make the tameh. Right? So Beit Shammai does not hold that you need to, that Beit Shammai does not hold that you wash your hands first because he's concerned for the crumbs that you're going to come in contact with. Beit Hillel omrim im shamash tamid chacham hu notel peirurin sheish ben gazayit umaniach peirurin sheim ben gazayit. And Beit Hillel says, no, because if the shamash knows what he's doing, if he's a tamid chacham, right? If the waiter is a tamid chacham, what's he going to do? He's going to take away all the crumbs that are more than a gazayit that we actually have to be concerned about contracting tuma. In which case, I don't have a problem. He's going to leave the crumbs that are less than a gazayit. I don't care if those become tameh. He's going to take away the crumbs that are over a kazayit, and therefore I have no issue. I might as well wash my hands and then come clean up my area. I'm only going to come in contact with things that are less than a kazayit. Misayel Rabbi Yochanan. That's a support for Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Am Rabbi Yochanan perun shein bem kazayit mutar la'avdam biyat. Rabbi Yochanan says that if the crumbs don't have a full kazayit left of it, you're allowed to metame them intentionally, like with your hands, right? They don't have a kazayit, and that's a support for this shita because Beit Hillel says that once the shamish took away any crumbs that were over a kazayit, you no longer have to be concerned that your hands are wet and might be metame them. But my kamif like, okay, what are Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai arguing about here? Why don't they have the same concerns? Beit Hillel savri asol shtamish b'shamish ama aretz. Beit Hillel says you're not allowed to use a waiter who's an Ama Aretz. He must be a Talmud Chacham, and so I know that he's going to take away any leftover bread that would actually be an issue. Beit Shammai Savri, Mutar Lishtamesh B'Shamash Ama Aretz. Beit Shammai says, you're allowed to have a waiter who's an Ama Aretz, so he might not take away that extra food that's over a kazayit, in which case, if you wash your hands, you're going to make it Tamei. Amar B'Yosi, Bar Chanina, Amar B'Huna, B'Kulei Pirkei Halacha Beit Hillel. Halacha is always like Beit Hillel. Bar Mehada Halacha, Beit Shammai. Except for this case, where Halacha is like Beit Shammai, that you should wash your hands only after you clean up your area. Matni ibcha bahanami halacha Beit Hillel. According to Rabbi Yosha, the halacha here is also like Beit Hillel. Okay, we're going to have a lot to do tomorrow, but we got to stop here.